Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I believe it's Chris Miles. I have not seen him yet. He's usually here very early. He's a bright, chipper, happy, just wonderful guy who's always happy, whereas I'm always grumpy and complaining about something. He's always happy. He just became a daddy, so he's even happier now. So congratulations to him and his lovely wife and family and all that stuff. So I believe it's Chris Miles. He's coming up at noon.
Becoming a daddy make you happy?
Well, becoming a daddy makes you happy.
Okay. When you got to take the baby home.
Having to do all of the things that your life now dictates you doing. And having to deal with, you know, other things.
Yeah, we're going through potty training at home. Oh, that's tons of fun.
That's great. Well, you have like 16 kids, don't you?
Oh, yeah, pretty close.
Yeah. Right? I mean.
17, 12, and 3.
17, 12, and 3.
Yeah.
You started all over again.
I'm aware.
I know we've talked about this. You started all over again.
Even all the nurses and the doctors said the same thing when our daughter was there. Like, wow, how old is she? And I mean, she was 9 back then. They were like, boy, you started over. I was like, yes, thanks.
Jester, speaking of, I can't say exactly what I was just going to say.
We were getting ready to get one out of the house. Now, that's still going to happen, but we still have the others.
I thought you had more than 3 kids. I thought you had 4.
No, just 3 that I claim.
that you know of, exactly. I have 2. And listen, love being a dad. Love being a dad. It's just kids permanently alter your life, good and bad, right? I always say it's the greatest thing that I've ever done and the hardest thing that I've ever done. I think that's fair because some people might say it's the greatest and worst thing they've ever done. I don't say that. I think it's the greatest and hardest thing that I've ever done.
I absolutely love it, but yeah, it's definitely the hardest thing putting up with, trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah. What people don't also realize is when you're an adult, right, and you have a normal job, i.e. not radio.
Okay? Right.
And you don't have to work 5 or 6 jobs. You work 3 jobs, right?
3.
Is it 3
yes.
jobs? Right. Because you work on Big O and Dukes. You work
right
here, and you work a normal job.
Right.
I have 5, sometimes 6 jobs. When you get a day off, when you get a chance to sleep in.
When I get a what?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
If and when you get a day off,
right?
You lose that day off when your kid wants to wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, or even earlier at the butt crack of dawn.
Oh yeah.
Or when you're sick, this is the worst. And I'm the most unhealthiest person in the world. I'm probably on borrowed time at this point. Okay.
Good Lord.
But I don't really get sick a whole lot. Like, my stomach hurts, you know, just because I don't eat good enough, and I need to eat, like, more vegetables, and even that hurts and whatever. But when you're, like, sick with the flu or the cold or the cough or the sniffles or whatever, and a lot of you yuppies out there get to just lay in your bed and have people feel bad for you and bring you chicken noodle soup, that doesn't exist when you have kids. Does not exist.
Especially with a little guy.
No.
Because he's just whacking you with his Toy Story toys wanting to play.
Yes. It does not exist. Forget about it. You better sleep. For all you 23-year-olds out there that think you have it so tough, guess what? You don't. Try having kids. Try not being able to hire a babysitter or a masseuse or, you know, whatever all the time. Good luck. Just saying. It's the greatest thing I've ever done and the hardest thing I've ever done. Is that fair, Jester?
That's fair.
Right?
That's fair. Okay. It's the nice thing, though, about my situation, the starting over, not so great, but I do have 2 built-in babysitters,
and
helps. I feel like it's working in my favor that is now birth control for the both of them.
Oh, yes. I see.
Is this what you want to do with your life? No.
Now, do they give you problems when you ask to them to watch the little one or no?
No, daughter gets annoyed, but my son, that's his buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your son's 17?
17. Yeah.
So at a 17-year-old boy, young man, is perfectly willing to help out a 3-year-old sister.
Yeah, I don't know if I have, well, it's 3-year-old brother.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But I feel like things have either changed or I have a weird one because he's all on board with that.
Uh-huh. That's weird.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That's good to see. I mean, I was like that with my brother when I was 15 and a half, 16. I mean, I would, you know, and he was adopted newborn.
Ah, gotcha.
You know, but he looked like just like my dad. And I couldn't spend enough time with him. Like I was upset when I couldn't spend time with him, you know?
Gotcha.
So it's kind of similar to your son. Interesting.
Yeah. We walk in the door together and I get Daddy Jimmy and Daddy doesn't matter any longer.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So it's the greatest thing you've ever done. Fair to say the hardest thing you've ever
definitely
done.
Definitely
right?
The hardest thing.
All right. So there's a tie in here. The greatest one of all time, Wayne Gretzky, again, paid homage to the greatest current one, Alex Ovechkin. I once thought, along with others, that Alex Ovechkin was his best days were behind him. When he scored, 31 goals or whatever it was before Adam Oates took over, you know, there were plenty of questions about what Alex was doing and not doing off the ice. Let's just leave it at that. I think everybody kind of knows what, you know, we're referring to. I mean, he was living quite the superstar lifestyle.
Right.
Okay. And it's neither here nor there, and it's neither my place or not. Everybody kind of knows, right? What Alex Ovechkin has turned into, not that he wasn't this way before that. Of course he was. And that was what was kind of frustrating, was because we talk about Antonio Brown and Kareem Hunt, you know, kind of wasting their career and all that. Alex was kind of on cruise control, is the best way I would put it, at a certain point in his career. When he dipped from 50 to 32 to 38, back down to 32 during a 3-year period from 2010 through 2012-13, people were kind of wondering, especially not so much in the last of those 3 years, because that was a shortened season. That was only a 48-game season. That was Oates' first year. 32 goals in 48 games, right? I mean, it's hard to argue with that kind of production. And obviously, you extrapolate that out over an 81-game season or 82-game season, and you're going to get, you know, 55 goals or whatever it is. But those numbers, the 3 years in the 30s, kind of made everybody go, they can't get over the hump. They keep losing early in the playoffs. They can't beat Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Is Alex on the backside of his career already? And I got to be honest with you, I thought the same thing too. I wondered. I thought maybe the lifestyle was too much. Since that point, 2013, 2014, scored 51 goals in 78 games. Then 53 in 81, 50 in 79. Back down to 33 in 82 games in 2016-2017. Back up to 49 in 82, 51 in 81, and now 34 in 49. And a Stanley Cup. Again, it hasn't, like, he did have that one dip in 2016-2017, but outside of that, it's been on a 50-goal pace plus or at 50 goals. With the exception of one season where he was at 49, which led the league. I mean, are we underappreciating Alex Ovechkin? I know that sounds crazy to say. He's won a Stanley Cup. One. He is on a pace to score almost 60 goals this year. Are we underappreciating the greatness of Alex Ovechkin? He's 202 goals away from tying Wayne Gretzky. Can he do it? I don't know. Can he win a second Stanley Cup? Don't know. I hope so. But are we underappreciating Alex Ovechkin? Like to take your calls on that. Plus, we can mix in the Eli Manning talk. I see my pal Birdie is on the line, the Birdman. We'll do that next, coming up on The Fan. Is this your swan song there, Jester?
I don't know why I love this song.
You get all fired up. Jester came alive. He perked up.
I'll show you my Quiet Riot tattoo after the show.
Oh, yeah. Depends on where that tattoo is there, Jester.
You're going to like it.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Maybe my guy, the Birdman, might like that. I don't know.
He definitely will.
Yeah. I hear you guys have an interesting history.
He's seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, this is getting weird. Before we get to him, Bill Colasimo, I hope I'm saying that right, sent me a screenshot of Sonny Jurgensen's career statistics. You know, and Sonny's a Hall of Famer. I mean, worked with Sonny for 5 years. Not trying to take anything away. He says, Eli, well, there are two Super Bowl wins. Food for thought. Yes, food for thought. And look, I'm not saying that, again, I believe Eli is absolutely going to get in the Hall of Fame. If I had a Hall of Fame vote, I just wouldn't put him in. Because, again, I think it's very important to do what he did when he did it, at the time in which he did it. But I can't ignore a rather meh regular season career. I mean, there were years where Eli was very good in the regular season. There were years where he was not good. You know, and depending on what metric matters the most to you, he was a .500 quarterback. Now, he was durable. He played every week. All of that. He put up some big numbers. Threw a lot of interceptions, won games, lost a lot of big games. But I think what's going to get him in is that he played quarterback in New York. And again, and I can't say that I said this, but he authored two of the, you know, I mean, we know he did. He authored two of the biggest moments in NFL history. Certainly one of the biggest in Arizona, upending the undefeated New England Patriots. With the David Tyree catch and Plexico Burress in the corner of the end zone and that whole upset. I don't know. I can't speak to how Sonny Jurgensen was viewed as a player and was voted. I mean, I think he was a better player than his stats show he was. But that's ultimately not my decision. Again, Eli will be a Hall of Famer. Me personally, I would not. Maybe with some convincing, I could, but it would be very, very, very tight on my timeline that he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, Alex Ovechkin, and it's a different sport, it's a different measurement. But, like, there's no doubt about that guy, even if he didn't win a Stanley Cup. Eli Manning, I think, is a Hall of Famer because he won those. And I think he would have gotten in with one Super Bowl win. The second one, to me, kind of cinched it. The one Super Bowl win. And what my guy, the Birdman, is going to talk about right here and right now with us here on The Fan. Hello, Birdie. How are you?
Well, hello there, Christopher. How are you and Jester?
We're doing okay. So I before we get into Eli Manning, I have to clear something up. You know about this Iron Maiden tattoo?
Quite right.
Yes, I have.
Quite
yes,
right.
Have
whatever. You've seen it.
I've seen it on a drunken night.
Oh my gosh, this is getting even more interesting.
in a darkened corner.
Whoa.
Of the Glen Burnie Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh. Which is where you two clowns work together.
The
right?
greatest place on earth.
In Glen Burnie, Maryland, you guys served up pizza to all those little kids.
Mm-hmm.
We served up pizza, pepperoni, and sausage.
Oh, Bertie. Were either one of you Chuck E. Cheese?
I think we both were. Jim, were you Chuck E. Cheese?
Steve, you're not supposed to say this stuff. Yes.
No, you're supposed to give away the trade secrets. So both of you served as Chuck E. Cheese, huh?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Did you guys make little kids cry?
No, you made them smile and dance.
Mm.
Throw tickets and tokens at them.
Well, that often works. All right, so that's how you guys got to know each other. Bertie, it was good to see you last Friday night with our mutual friend Fred. Out in Maryland. It was good to see you. Now you wanted to bring up a point about Eli Manning that I kind of touched on earlier, but go ahead. I'm just setting you up. Hit it out of the park.
Yeah, so I was listening earlier, and you were saying about the two big games about, you know, Eli beating the Patriots. And I think that is what ultimately gets him in. However, I think he gets in because he played quarterback for New York. Then let's just go back to some history. Super Bowl III, Joe Namath. He played for the Jets. He called out, hey, I'm going to beat the Colts. However, if you look at the stats, Namath only passed for 27,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He only had two seasons where he threw more touchdowns than interceptions. Roman Gabriel, in the same era, had better numbers. And so did Norm Snead. But yet, Joe Namath gets in.
Right. Because, yeah, but, I mean, why did he get in? Because, A, the Super Bowl win, and B, because he was Broadway Joe, and he was charismatic, and he predicted that, right?
It doesn't matter.
I know, but that's what sticks in the mind. To your point, that's what's going to stick in the mind for Eli Manning. The only difference is Eli Manning did it twice. And he did it against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady twice.
Do you think if, let's say, I don't know, let's just pick a franchise. And I they weren't around at the time, but let's just say Joe Namath played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he said, I'm going to beat the Baltimore Colts. Does he still get in? No. He got in because he played for New York. That's why Eli is getting in. It's the same reason, if you look at the Baseball Hall of Fame, that somebody like a Pee Wee Reese gets in.
Mm-hmm.
Because they play in New York.
Listen, I can't deny the impact of playing in New York and being great or being very good in New York, that pushes you. Of course it does. I mean, I'm a guy who says media narrative pushes everything, right? I mean, that's how I suggest or explain how the NBA is so much more popular than the NHL. It's not because it's a better game. It's because the media shoves it down your throat, right? So the media shoves down New York athletes down your throat. But I would say this. I don't know how many New York members of the media or how many media members, period, would be advocating, stooping, saying that Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer when, if he did not win, never mind the one, if he did not win any of those Super Bowls, even if he got to those two Super Bowls and lost, people might make the argument. I don't think they would have any water in their argument. So,
well,
I mean, I think it's a combination of playing in New York doesn't hurt. But I think it's a combination of playing in New York, being a Manning, playing quarterback, and then the most important reason is just those two Super Bowl wins. And that's going to be 75% of the argument.
Well, I will say this, and you're going to laugh at this. And
I laugh at a lot of things you say.
Right, but, if Eli gets in, the bar gets lowered, and I hate to say it, but hear me out. I think you look at somebody like a Joe Flacco that may get in because he almost beat Tom Brady in multiple AFC championship games.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, Chris, if that's the standard.
He won one.
If that's the standard, Chris.
He won one Super Bowl, Birdie. He didn't win two.
It doesn't matter.
I mean,
it doesn't
almost
matter.
Beat Tom Brady in a conference championship and a couple, and I know he was probably robbed in one. You can't use that as the same comparison as Eli Manning.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let's look at the numbers.
You don't have to look at the numbers. He won one Super Bowl. Eli won two.
I understand, my point is you can't do it off of one game or two games in his career. You have to look at multiple games in a career. That's it.
I would agree with you on that. What I'm saying is, and that's why I was saying that I wouldn't put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, or I would be very, very hard to convince to change my mind on that, because I do think people are going to boil it down to those two moments, those two games, those two situations, as opposed to the whole package. But I also think that if, you know, I mean, we can't just look at every quarterback who's won a Super Bowl and say just because they've won a Super Bowl, they're Hall of Fame worthy. Obviously, we know that. You know that in Baltimore with Trent Dilfer, right? I know that growing up in New York. Jeff Hostetler won Super Bowl 25. He's not a Hall of Famer. That you have to have the great regular season numbers to kind of back it up. Well, Eli doesn't have the great regular season numbers.
I don't think great regular season numbers even matter anymore. Look at somebody like a Terrell Owens. Probably the second greatest receiver of his time, behind maybe like a Randy Moss. He's not even in. He should be a freaking first ballot Hall of Famer, Chris.
Yeah, I mean the problem with him is well, wait, didn't I thought no, T.O. got in, right?
Did he get in?
Yeah, he got in 2 years ago. Remember, he didn't go to Canton?
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, well, I'm getting old, and I'm getting amnesia in my old age.
You're getting very old.
Yeah,
Anyway, the point, and it's always good to hear from you, my friend. I appreciate it. I'm glad you saw Jester's tattoo in a dark corner at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, that was the highlight of my life, and it was a Hall of Fame worthy tattoo.
Ooh,
Jim,
you're welcome.
I like that way to tie that in. You're gonna have to text me where it is so I know what I'm looking for.
Okay? All right, guys.
All right, see you, bro.
See you, man.
Be good,
my guy.
Chris, I don't know if you know, but you can't spell elite without Flacco. Just so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, you can't spell elite without Eli. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The Bears' Twitter feed was hacked. And the big lead has the screenshots. We'll run down a few of them next on The Fan. All right, thank you to my pal, the Birdman, who, again, for some reason, has intimate details of Jim Jester's secret tattoo. Or not so secret tattoo.
Thank God there was not photo texting back in the 90s.
Oh. See, this is getting to a seedy point in the show. I forgot when Birdie mentioned you about 10 days ago when I had dinner with him and again a mutual buddy of ours, Fred, he mentioned you. I forgot that you guys knew each other. And I didn't know anything about I had forgotten about the Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese. I think I just said Chunky Cheese. Chucky. I mean, I guess if you eat too much Chuck E. Cheese, it'll make you like me. Chunky Cheese. I had forgotten about the combination between you two. So that was good to find out some details. I haven't texted it. I think somebody just texted me. I get a lot of texts, so I can't keep up with everything. But I have to find out what he knows. So whether or not I can actually find this mysterious tattoo without finding anything else on you, Jim Jester. This is officially the show of the weird now.
Well, we're halfway through.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is what happens when Jester gets called in at 11 o'clock night watching a crazy-ass weird movie that Chad Dukes recommended. By the way, I told you this in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a chance on earth that I would ever watch any movie that Chad Dukes recommended.
Broaden your horizon, Chris.
No, no. What did you say about the movie that you were watching late last night?
Oh, it was messed up.
Right. It was really messed up.
Really messed up.
I think you used other language.
I did.
Okay. And then you said it was what? The follow-up or the sequel to another really messed up movie or something like that that Chad recommended?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Chad has a dark, sadistic, very dark sense of humor.
Which I draw to, though.
Right. He's okay, fine, which makes sense. You work on Big O and Dukes and all that. I mean, obviously. Okay, great. I'm just trying to help you out, Chester. I mean,
did you call me Chester?
You don't need nightmares. You don't need.
I'm too old for nightmares.
You don't need to have a bad taste in your mouth. You don't need to scare your 3-year-old.
No, they can't watch that stuff.
I was just saying, I'm very picky about movies and TV. I don't take a lot of recommendations from anybody, but one person I would not take any recommendations from is Chatamus Dukesus.
I don't know. I like his outlook on movies. It usually compares with mine.
Yeah, again, very dark for me.
You're not like scary movies, though?
No, not at all. I don't like shoot 'em up, blow 'em up movies. I don't like scary movies. I don't like any dark foreign language films. I watch comedies.
Ah.
You know, light, bubbly.
So you're a big Adam Sandler fan?
It depends on... I've watched some violent movies. I mean, you know... Of course, Goodfellas, my favorite movie of all time, right? That's pretty violent in some spots. Even that's gory. I mean, I'm not talking about, like, when I was a kid growing up, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street was like the big popular thing, right? I mean, Freddy Krueger and all that. I mean, I couldn't watch that. I get squeamish. Just disgusting. You know, I don't like shoot 'em up, blow 'em up movies. I don't like really dark, kind of heavy movies. I don't like movies that you have to... spend time figuring out. I just want to laugh a little bit. I want to relax. What happens in this business is when you analyze games and analyze storylines and analyze sound bites and quotes
right.
for every little thing, and you have to twist and you have to kind of figure things out because you need stuff to talk about. I don't want to do that in the little bit of free time that I have. I don't want to do that. I don't want to watch a foreign language flick. I don't want to watch a flick that's dark. You know, like, that doesn't have good lighting for whatever reason, get out of here. I don't want to watch people getting blown up by bombs. I don't care. I don't want to see it. We see enough of that in our world. I don't want to see that. I want to see, like, you know, people having fun, people laughing, people having a good time, all the stuff that I don't get to do.
Well, they were in a little communion in this movie. They were having a lot of fun.
And then?
Until it took a turn.
And it's for the worst. It took a turn. Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't take a turn in the positive direction.
It didn't end up well for a lot of people.
That's funny. The Redskins. Oh, I forgot real quickly, because I teased this. The Bears' official Twitter feed got hacked. And whoever hacked it, they announced that they were the new owner of the Chicago Bears. And it was an Arab man. And so what happened was, it's on the Chicago Bears official Twitter, it says, "Welcome to our new owner." And it has his Twitter handle. And I can't even say it on the air. It's like at @TURKI_AliSheik, I guess. And it hashtag Pro Bowl, hashtag Bears 100, hashtag Chicago Bears, and it had his picture on it, right? So Big Lead put it up, and it was like, well, to confirm the obvious, yes, the account was hacked, but the hackers politely made it clear with their next tweet. Somebody sent this along, and they said, "Just kidding. Hi, we are, our mind," whatever that means, "we are here for two things. One, announce that we are back. Two, show people that everything is hackable." And then I guess it's a security services company. And they put up an email address to show, you know, to help improve your account security. And they put up an email address, and it says, "For security services, visit ourmind.org," which I guess is a company of internet security or whatever is what I'm trying to say. And then, just real quickly, one last thing. The Bears got control back of their account. And this Twitter account called @PrideOfDetroit said, "Hey, while you're still hacked at Chicago Bears, trade us Khalil Mack for a 6th-rounder. And the Bears, we presume... Before they got control of their account back, said they retweeted it and said, "Done for $1. So the Bears, I mean, this is something that would happen to the Redskins, right? the Bears' official Twitter account hacked, and they sold Khalil Mack for a dollar to presumably the Detroit Lions in the division. All right, I just wanted to bring that to you. The Redskins had the best rookie class in 2019. You're right. You heard that right. We'll discuss that next on The Fan. All right, we're soldiering along here on a Sunday morning. You're welcome to join us at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Before we get into the rookie class thing, we touched on this late Friday night, Hoffman and I did. The Redskins ranked very, very good, as in really good. We'll explain why, how, whatever. I did want to bring up this. Tonight's the Grammys in L.A. at the Staples Center. It's why the Lakers have been on this East, you know, this long East Coast trip, because they need, you know, like a week plus to set up the staging area and the whole building. I guess the L.A. Kings are gone as well. I know the Lakers were in Philadelphia last night. LeBron passed Kobe Bryant for third all time in the career scoring list, only behind Karl Malone and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So congratulations to Bron. When's Bronny coming? Oh, God, that's going to be so friggin' annoying. It's been agitating me all week.
I don't think he's nearly as talented, though. I think the team he plays for, he's currently not really playing.
Yeah, he's off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's playing with a traveling team, whatever that means, and he certainly could get better. I mean,
all right.
But, the whole, you know what agitates me? Ah, sorry. This is so childish of me.
Let me hear it.
It's not Dame. It's Damian Lillard. His name is not Dame. It's Damian Lillard. It's not Dame. Stop referring to him like everybody knows who Dame is. I mean, if I just said, you know, if I just said John, am I talking about John Carlson? Or am I, you know, Johnny B. Good? That's his goal song. No, please. Not everybody wants to refer to Be cool, Dame. Mellow. Bronny. Bronny is going to drive me nuts. I can just say, Steph. He's Steph. He's not Stefan. He's Steph. Just Steph. Who's the other one? Russell Westbrook is just Russ.
That annoys
Russ.
You?
Yeah, just Russ. Yeah.
I always get annoyed by the people that know Robert De Niro and call him Bobby.
Oh,
yeah.
Bobby De Niro.
I don't know why that drives me insane.
Well, see, here's the thing. If you know somebody, okay?
I don't care.
Robert
De Niro.
Oh, okay. I got it. I understand what you're saying. But I do think it's a little bit different when you know somebody, and if you know somebody and that person has approved you calling him Bobby, I think that's different. For instance, okay, I'm trying to think of the corollary example here that maybe people would know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, all right. So PJ Elliott, who is playing hooky today and you're filling in for, right?
Right.
His name is he goes by PJ, right?
Right.
I mean, he's obviously got a full official name, but I call him Peej a lot.
Hey, I do that too.
I would never call him Peej if he was not okay with it, you know?
But you wouldn't say that to me randomly. Like, hey, you seen Peej? Like, who the hell is Peej?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But, I mean, I assume the scenario you were talking about was, if we're talking about, you know, if you're Tom Cruise and you're asked about what makes Robert De Niro so great, I assume there would be, a lead-up to, hey, Tommy, Tom Cruise, what makes Robert De Niro so great? Well, Bobby De Niro is just the best actor of all time. I remember him in Goodfellas and Casino and this and that.
That just seems douchey to me.
Okay.
You know Robert De Niro, thanks.
Bobby. You might call him Robert. I call him Bobby. Bobby Badass. The Grammys are tonight. Do you have any interest?
No.
No.
No. I'll know three artists.
I was going to say, I've heard the commercial play 100 times on our station over the last 4 days. I mean, it is virtually playing in every stop set.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I might know less than three of the artists.
And this is only because I have a 12-year-old daughter. Yeah, so some of the songs that I know, just because that's what she listens to.
Right. My daughter is weird. She's got a lot of weird, eclectic kind of like choices. Like she listens to some of that stuff. But like listening to the commercial, I mean, I know who the Lil Nas X guy is.
Don't know who that is.
What's the song? Country, not Country Road. It's a really popular song. God, okay. I can't even think of it. Anyway, it's playing. The next time the commercial plays, they'll say Lil Nas X,
and then play
the song. And then they'll play the song. I forgot the name of the song.
I always get stuck on the stupid Lizzo song that they play on there.
Now, which one is that?
She's the heavy set lady. She was at the Lakers game, I think, with her booty hanging out of her jeans because she cut holes in them.
Oh, okay. Yes. And what song does she sing?
I have no idea what it's called.
I don't know. I mean, if they bring up a couple of country artists, I'd probably know them because I like country music, which makes me weird too. but I'd probably know them if they bring up, you know, like, I don't know, the Eagles. I would know them.
Right, and Zach the classics, of course, and
Zach Brown Band.
I mean, I've heard of them, but I couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
I mean,
I've heard of them, but if you had them sitting in the hallway, I'd have no idea.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I'm still stuck in like the 90s alternative, like Pearl Jam and Green Day and half the stuff music I bring you back here on the radio.
I couldn't tell. But I mean, that's fine. That's good music. That's okay. That's okay. I thought you would be into something dark and merciless.
No, I don't cut myself, Chris. I'm 40 years old.
I didn't mean that you cut yourself, you ding-a-ling. Anyway. Good luck to the Grammys tonight. I'll probably put it on because there's nothing else on.
Right. That's I figured will be my
There's no
evening.
Hockey. I don't do a regular season NBA very much unless I absolutely have no choice. Certainly will not watch college basketball. There's just nothing else on. So I'll probably put it on and do a lot of writing. That's what I'll do.
That works.
So the Grammys tonight in Los Angeles. You should watch it, I guess, on CBS. And notice how they don't put it on a Saturday. Which goes back to that ridiculous thing that we were talking about yesterday with the Super Bowl. It's on a Sunday. Why? Because most people are watching TV on a Sunday night.
And it's
most
also people, not the Super Bowl.
Right.
Who gives a rat's ass about the Grammys compared to the Super Bowl?
I'm not saying that it draws the same number. But most people who have a life, who have a normal life, have Sunday nights off. So they're going to watch the most amount of TV on a Sunday night after 7 o'clock Eastern time. That's why they put the Grammys on. On CBS. On The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.